If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome into another bonus episode of Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Polillo and at JoshJordan975 and read their work on sportsmap.com. On today's episode, the Angels scoop the cooch. MLB.com explores the most likely landing spots for Breggy, but there's a snag in all three, and a former Astros catcher is now a bench coach. But it's probably not the one you're thinking of. Gents, big Astros-related news this week. Yusei Kikuchi has agreed to a three-year, $63 million deal with the Angels. That is a $21 million AAV for those that are bad at math like me. Bad teams overpaying for players isn't new, but now there's a concern about the depth of the Astros and their rotation. They still have Fromber, still have Brown, Blanco, and Arrigetti. And we have heard that the Astros are having conversations with Justin Verlander. What do you guys think about this deal, how it affects the market, the JV variable and all this? And what do you think about the depth now for the Astros rotation?
Well, congrats to Yusei Kikuchi. I never blame a guy for taking the most money on the board. I'd be curious to know if the Astros made a token offer. 2 years, $30 million, something like that. I mean, the Angels coming in presumably over the top of everyone else, going 3 years. Kikuchi will be 36 that season. $63 million, good for him. But I don't want to hear about winning as a priority. The Angels are just a mess, and maybe they're making a move toward mediocrity, having Kikuchi as their number one. Now, if the Astros unlocked him, and Astro Kikuchi is going to be the Angels' ace for the next 3 years. Three-year $63 million is not a crazy contract. But the Astros, if any hope, realistic hope of retaining Alex Bregman, no way were they paying anywhere close to $21 million per year for not a luxury starter. He was a critical component the last 2 months of the season. So to the Astros' depth as it stands, as we creep near spring training 2025, right? You have three guys that you go into the season expecting to be good. Framber Valdez, he's still on the team, right? Hunter Brown, Ronel Blanco. High hopes for Spencer Arrigetti, but one definition of potential, or one definition for me of potential, is all that one has yet to accomplish. Right, a 453 earned run average, erratic performance. He settled in nicely for a stretch and then unsettled a bit toward the end of the year. Okay, those are four spots in the rotation. Luis Garcia, maybe at the start. Christian Javier, maybe in the middle. Remember, Luis Garcia had his Tommy John May of 2023. And he's not pitching until 2025. So Christian Javier, with the Astros' slow-to-recover pitching program, you know, the hope, knock on wood, is by mid-season 2025, but not a given. So to me, there is a spot, if not a straight-up need, for one more starter you'd project to be healthy and decent. I don't know that 42-year-old Justin Verlander checks those boxes, particularly the healthy one.
No, and if you look at the comments from Dana Brown when talking about Verlander, I mean, you know, they said that, you know, they've had conversations, but there's been no real progress. So I think they're just kind of taking the temperature, but it doesn't feel like a priority at all. Dana said as much. They want to get Bregman back. That's their top concern. And with Kikuchi, I'm with you, Charlie. This is a cash grab. I don't blame him for that, but you're not going to the Angels to try and win anything, not anytime soon. I think being on the West Coast was probably appealing to him as well. Also, who wouldn't want to live in LA, Hollywood, with all that money? It's beautiful weather, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I get it, but it also tells me the Astros were never really close with Kikuchi. They weren't going to pay, you know, it's that much to Kikuchi, $60 million, $63 million. They just don't have, they can't budget that for that position with who they want to pay and what they want to do. So, but yeah, they did kind of unlock him. We'll see if that continues, if that magic with the Angels is something that he has next year that he had with the Astros this past year. I mean, we saw it with Gerrit Cole. He didn't fall off when he went to the Yankees. The Astros kind of unlocked him, and he's been a quality pitcher ever since. So could be the case with Kikuchi, but he's a little bit older, and you're not very afraid of the Angels. So with Verlander, I don't think it's going to happen unless Jim Crane steps in and tells Dana Brown to get something done. And knowing Verlander, he wants to get every dollar out of a lot of his deals too. So I don't see him taking some kind of sweetheart deal to come back to the Astros. So hopefully Luis Garcia is ready to go, because they're going to need him this year, and he should be ready by now. And that's why I don't feel good about Christian Javier this year. I think that's one of the reasons the Astros let go of Urquidy, because they were like, what's the point? Is he even going to be ready this year? Why waste the money? So, yeah, I think they got to, and McCullers, I have to mention him. He's playing catch, guys. So we'll see what turns out there. But if Luis Garcia can be kind of what he was, assuming, you know, his windup is not going to be an issue with the rule changes. Remember, that was kind of a problem briefly before he got hurt. We'll see if he can adapt to that with a whole lot of time to ramp up here.
To briefly amplify, maybe close the circle on Yusei Kikuchi, and I don't blame the Astros for not coming particularly close to the Angels offer given their payroll struggles, but they did not contest seriously, because we know California off the top, the millionaire tax, basically 12% in personal income tax in California that one does not pay in Texas. So if you just lop off 10%, you're talking 3 years, about $57 million, $19 million per year. The Astros had no interest in going there on Yusei Kikuchi either.
I think what's frustrating about the Kikuchi deal is the narrative now from Astros fans that Brown overpaid for Kikuchi. The Astros were 9-1 in his 10 starts and only won the division by 3.5 games. And I'm sorry if that math isn't clear for some fans, but if Brown doesn't trade for Kikuchi, there's probably a good chance Astros don't make the playoffs. They had no real options in their farm system. In perspective, we'll see long-term whether this was a real loss or not, but the only real prospect they sent was Jake Bloss. No disrespect to Loperfido and Wagner, but Bloss clearly wasn't ready in that moment. And the Astros were in win-now mode. Are they still? Remains to be seen. I teased in the open real quick, just shout out to former Astros catcher Robinson Chirinos for becoming the Orioles' new bench coach. In baseball circles, he's considered to be a future major league manager, so that's pretty cool. We'll keep our eye on him. Back to Astros-centric related news, Astros standard contracts to most of their eligible players. Following up on that, Chandler Rome had an ominous update on The Athletic regarding Jake Meyers. No news necessarily, but he's just kind of putting together context clues from Dana Brown, who Rome says is a little bit more candid than most of his GM peers. He's referencing Brown's quotes from the previous week regarding the outfield, where Brown talked about the value of Chaz and kind of omitted anything about Jake Meyers. And when pressed on it, Brown admitted that Chaz is above Meyers in the depth chart. Look, I appreciate the honesty, but I have to admit, this is something that anyone watching the games could have said. And now they're in a worse position, because now we know after a full season that Jake Meyers is a bust offensively. They are in the exact same position this season that they were in last season, except for now that there are questions about Chaz after his down year. Charlie, let's start with you. Did the Astros accomplish anything by kicking the can down the road on Meyers?
No, with Chaz McCormick's collapse, it gave them two horrifically inept offensive outfielders. Hey, Meyers, they made a bet or a prayer that the defense would be so good that it would carry subpar offense at the position. I mean, it was really praying hard if they were thinking, well, he can be average offensively. But post All-Star break, he wasn't subpar. He was 20,000 leagues under the sea, right? About as bad a player as you'd find in Major League Baseball offensively. And, you know, you look at the ages of those two guys. In Meyers' case, what is the upside? Now, yeah, you can go get the ball in center field. You need him to throw it hard in from there. But I'm going to say this is about Jacob Melton. The Astros' weak farm system, Jacob Melton is the supposed brightest shining star, potentially. But their number one prospect. Yeah, well, he's almost 25 years old already. And if he can't unseat Jake Meyers, what kind of prospect is he? What kind of evaluation have you done of your own prospect? And if your number one prospect isn't worth a lick, what do you have that's below him in your system? So Myers worked cheaply. That was a huge factor in him being gifted the primary center field spot going into last season. But he was not a winning player when you add it all up. There is no reason to expect a quantum leap from Jake Myers in 2025, whereas at least McCormick has a chunk of quality major league performance on the curriculum vitae. But Jacob Melton, if he doesn't open some eyes in spring training, he's supposed to be a good center fielder. He definitely has speed. The hit tool's a question. He's pretty much been a 250 hitter with okay power in the minor leagues. But I'd be giving every chance to Melton, who'd play for $760,000 this coming season, as opposed to Jake Myers via salary arbitration at $2.5 million or whatever.
That's what's curious about this for me, Charlie. I don't think they have a lot of high hopes in Melton right now. We already know that Dana made comments a few weeks ago that we talked about on this show of how he hopefully comes out to have a great spring, and then we send him to AAA, and then he continues to show that at AAA, and then we bring him up. So even if he has a great spring, it doesn't sound like the plan is to use him, which it makes you worry that they're not seeing it, at least not yet. He's an older prospect that you pointed to, so it doesn't give you a lot of confidence. And then you look at this quote from The Athletic from Dana Brown: if there's an opportunity for a left-handed bat, we'll make that move and then adjust with McCormick and whoever we sign, or Myers. So that tells me everything I need to know in the way that sentence was put together, that they're going to try and get a left-handed bat. Doesn't sound like that's Melton. And whoever that guy is, if they get him, he's going to be playing ahead of Jake Myers. And that's why you asked Brandon, did they accomplish anything by doing this, kicking the can down the road? Well, I guess they got their final answer that Jake Myers is not going to give them enough offense and that they can just cross him off the list and move forward. So, you know, maybe process of elimination, you accomplish something there. But to Charlie's point, he's going to be 29 years old this year. The thought that he was going to have some awakening last season and be some plus offensive player was, yeah, I just think they didn't have any other options. So they're just like, we're going with this, not because we think it's going to work, but just because this is all we got. Hopefully McCormick can be that guy for you in the outfield. And especially from this quote that I just read out there, early on, we were hearing Dana say, McCormick's a great fit for left field. Now he's kind of saying, it sounds like we get a left-handed bat, and wherever that guy plays better, we'll either stick Chaz in center or in left or wherever the other guy isn't playing, which also tells me there's not a lot of planning for Yordan Alvarez, I don't think, to play a lot of left field this season.
And let's throw in with that, Chaz McCormick only has one season where he was decent against right-handed pitching. 2023, he improved from awful. 2022, he destroyed lefties and was nearly as bad against righties as he was outstanding against lefties. 2023, he still destroyed lefties. Against righties, he was playable. So if he goes back to being really a guy who should be a platoon, well, you see more right-handed pitching than you do left-handed pitching. That left-handed part of the platoon, that's a better than 50-50 proposition. And you need two outfield spots covered. Tucker, if he's still on a roster, is in right field. But if Yordan is going to be exclusively or mostly DH against right-handed pitching, you're looking to upgrade in both center field and left field. And I'll take it back to Melton, who is by no stretch an elite prospect. He wouldn't be one of Seattle's top five position player prospects, for instance. But if he is their best, he's certainly regarded more highly now than Joey Loperfido was a year ago at this time. And then there are the spring training stories. Remember 2 years ago, Justin Dearden was hitting like 980 and slugging 3,000 and went to the minor leagues and was no good in the minor leagues and got released out of the organization a year and change later. But Melton at 24 years old, if he is the Astros' best prospect, he needs to show some of it in 2025.
Yeah, we've spoken about this before, but the Astros are just not good enough offensively to have so many defensive first players around the diamond and the outfield. And that was obviously confirmed in the wild card series. Dana Brown has his work cut out for him, as we have said many times. He has said his priority is retaining Alex Bregman. That takes us to the latest Breggy update. MLB.com published an article last week identifying the top three landing spots for Bregman. Those spots were the Astros, Tigers, and Phillies. We've talked about all three of those teams on this show. Unsurprisingly, though, all three spots have the same hangup, which is the length and the money that's going to be attached to that deal. Crane has a history of being much more frugal relative to what Alex is expected to demand. The Tigers have the payroll, but there's a real question about what does that accomplish for them long term. And then with the Phillies, they could do it, but that would put them into the fourth threshold of the CBT. As we're looking at the current landscape of the market, any chance that maybe Bregman signs something a little shorter, maybe a little bit more practical, considering that landscape?
Well, Brandon, you said frugal. Others, Jim Crane especially, might say sensible. A little bit of a game of chicken in terms of the overall market. Is Bregman willing to wait beyond the first of the year, within a couple of weeks of spring training starting? Obviously, he's not going to come anywhere close to Juan Soto, but you know, is he thinking, well, if Soto gets $600 million, I should be getting half of that, $300 million. Scott Boras, of course, is going to use other ridiculous contracts as the template for, well, this needs to be the floor for Alex Bregman, or he should be coming in at or near this level, right? Manny Machado's 11-year, $350 million extension signed when he was 30 years old. Well, Manny Machado's had a better career than Alex Bregman has to this point. But you know what? The 2 years since signing that extension, Manny Machado hasn't been as good a player as he was, and he still has 9 years remaining on that contract. Any team that gives Alex Bregman 7 years plus is stupid or is just willing to accept sunk cost on the back end of the deal, right? We've covered it repeatedly. Bregman's coming off the worst full season of his career. There are some underlying numbers that give concern. The walk ratio fell off the table. Still a good player, but not a megastar. Hadn't been an all-star since 2019. His only two 5-WAR seasons in the major leagues were 2018 and 2019. So you can look at the deal Xander Bogaerts got with the Padres, 11 years, $280 million, when he was 30. Well, because the Padres gave two such deals out, the Bogaerts deal, no doubt they're already regretting 1 year, 2 years into an 11-year contract. But who blinks? Right. All it takes is one. You gave three teams just to add a couple of other potential Bregman scenarios to the mix. If the Mets don't get Juan Soto, I'm going to guess they wind up paying the Piper, overpaying the Piper to keep Pete Alonso. But if not, Mark Vientos, who was their third baseman, 24 years old, and had a fabulous season offensively, way better than, well, Alex Bregman. Yeah, but his glove's questionable. They could move Vientos over to first and pursue Bregman. The Yankees, if they lose Juan Soto to the Mets, and they're going to redistribute some of the money they have available. Jazz Chisholm's more a second baseman by trade than a third baseman. Right? Bregman could become a factor for the Yankees. Sure doesn't sound like the Mariners are willing to sit at the big boy table and pay, though he would still make great sense for the Mariners themselves, as well as hurting the Astros within the same division. I think there are 6-8 teams max among the 30 that will have interest in Alex Bregman, but that's enough for him to have a good market. The market that he and Scott Boras wants, I don't see it. A team is insane or just doesn't care about the grandchildren's inheritance. It coming anywhere near 10 years, $300 million.
I think it's going to be hard for Jim Crane to process giving somebody more money than Altuve in Bregman's case. I mean, that was a big deal they gave Altuve, and to think that you're going to pay Bregman more. I know their ages were different. There's a lot of other stuff, but just big picture wise, when you're just looking at, I'm paying this guy this and I'm paying this guy this. And then you look at Yordan Alvarez and look what he does for way less money. I get it. They paid him early. I understand all that stuff. But if you're Jim Crane, just kind of looking at what you paid for this guy and what you paid for that guy, I'm curious if he's going to feel like, yeah, I should give Bregman more money than Altuve as he's getting close to 30. And then with the Tigers, are they going to be a little gun shy after the Javier Baez contract totally did not work out for them? And he was 29 years old when he signed that big deal, kind of about the same age as Bregman. That blew up in their face a little bit. So I wondered, once bitten, twice shy, if the Tigers are going to go all in on an infielder that's getting close to 30.
I don't know how this is all going to play out. Bregman has a lot of value to this team. The Astros could use him back for sure. But how does the money really make sense long-term unless you're not expecting to get Tucker back?
The Altuve extension for the marketplace would strike me as reasonable. 5 years, $125 million, which I'm sure Boras would scoff at. You insult us, right? Altuve's obviously had the greater career, right? He's the more significant player in Astros history. He just made an all-star team and won a Silver Slugger Award. Right? Bregman did not. I don't think 5 years, 125 will get it done. Right? That Matt Chapman supposed floor of 6 years, 151. Well, the Giants overpaid for Matt Chapman. But when you play the compare and contrast, I will guess Bregman does get at least that. And then it's on Jim Crane. Is he willing to go through the second tax? And Josh, you talked about, right, the Altuve contract. Right? Alvarez, they just got it a steal at $19 million per year and change. Just laugh your way to the bank on that one. But going forward, I don't think the vibes are good. The sense that the Astros, right, 2 years, they've gotten nowhere in extension talks with Kyle Tucker. But if you're going to give 31-year-old Alex Bregman more than $25 million per season, well, what in the hell then is your floor in bidding for 27-year-old Kyle Tucker when he's becoming a free agent?
We've talked about it before, but I just think one precludes the other. I think there it's an either or situation with Tucker or Bregman, and it may be neither. That may be the answer. Before we go, shout out to former Love Connection host Chuck Woolery, who passed at age 83 this week. For those who were curious, that finally does confirm that he and Bill Worrell are not, in fact, the same person. And on that note, we will not be back in 2 and 2. We'll be back next week, because that's going to be it for this episode of Stone Cold Shows. If you listen on podcast on places like Apple or Spotify, you would be doing us a solid if you would give us a 5-star rating there. That does help other Astros fans like yourself find our podcast and help the show grow. Charlie, Josh, and I will join you next week for continued off-season coverage, but you don't have to wait that long to get your Houston sports fix, because all you have to do is subscribe to this channel, Sports Map Houston, and our other channel, Sports Map Texans, on YouTube. We'll have more content for you during the week, including a Texans-Jags preview on our other channel, Sports Map Texans, on Thursday. Thanks for listening. Until next time, go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.